the sixth chapter of Jeremiah. And we're going to read in this chapter from verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 6 and the verse 9. Let us turn there, let us give our mind to the word as it's read, and may the Lord even speak to our souls through the reading of the word. Jeremiah chapter 6 and the verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. And the Lord will bless the reading of this, his word, for his name's sake. Amen. Let's all unite our hearts together and let us pray, seeking the face of the Lord for his help and his grace to be upon us tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank thee that to the sinner who comes to thee through thine own dear Son, there is the great promise given of cleansing through the precious blood. Lord, how we pray that tonight thou wilt call sinners to come. Thou wilt bring them through the preaching of the word and by the operation of thy Spirit. And thou, Lord, wilt unite them with thy dear Son and save them by thy grace. To that end, Lord, give help now in the preaching. Grant to us victory in this time, in the sense of knowing the power of God, the enablement of the Spirit, the defeating of the devil, the pulling down of his strongholds, the building of the church of Jesus Christ, through the Lord adding to that church such as should be saved. Hear us, Lord, and bless us now, we pray in the Saviour's name and for the Saviour's sake. Amen. We turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, and the text is that verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The language of this text indicates very clearly the Lord's employment of the figure of a traveler as he addresses the wayward nation of Judah through his servant Jeremiah. Furthermore, the picture that is presented for us in this text is not only of a traveler, but a traveler who has been misguided by being given the wrong information and the wrong direction with regard to his journey, having been sent astray and having therefore been placed in great danger because of that wrong direction, that wrong information. Now, the relevancy of this figure of a misguided traveler is revealed in the immediate context, because in verse 13, you'll notice what it says there as one example of people being misguided. It says, from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. These words that we have read, this passage that we have read, is all within the context of Jeremiah outlining to the nation of Judah the coming judgment of God due to the deep and terrible apostasy which had come upon the nation, the departure from God, the turning away from the truth. And we find here that that departure is squarely laid at the feet of the religious leaders of the land. For we have just read of the prophet unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. There were many prophets in Judah. Jeremiah wasn't the only prophet. He was, of course, the only faithful man of God at that time, or just about the only faithful man of God. But there were many prophets as regards a counting of heads. And yet the sad thing is that those prophets were men who were false and unfaithful and were responsible for leading the nation away from God and away from truth. Then the priests, whose responsibility it was to teach the word of God in the temple, they also were unfaithful. They had become corrupt. They had become unfaithful in their dealings and in their ways. And this meant, you see, that the spiritual guidance that it was given to the nation of Judah was characterized by an abandonment of truth, so that people were being misdirected entirely and altogether. Doesn't it sound familiar? Isn't it the very same situation that is going on today in our own land and in our own kingdom, indeed across the face of the world, where there ever has been gospel preaching or a gospel witness? In so many cases, what a departure there is. Preachers and those who proclaim the word of God supposedly departing and dealing falsely, and therefore people sent astray, sent toward hell and damnation, because of men who will not preach faithfully God's precious word. Therefore, the figure here of the traveler being sent in the wrong direction is most appropriate in the light of the departure from God and His truth and the false teaching that prevailed in the nation. Now, in that situation, the one making the journey had to do the one sensible thing. And that was, or is, he had to stop immediately and seek to obtain the right information and act upon the reception of that true or that right information. Notice how our text begins. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Notice here the call that goes forth through Jeremiah, from the Lord, even at that juncture. A call to the people of Judah to stand, that is, to stop. The one lost in his journey, therefore, is being shown that he must come to a halt. He must take time to consider carefully the direction in which he is going, recognize that it is altogether wrong, and then ask for the right way. Ask for the true way. Ask for information about the journey of life and the career that must be taken back to safety. That's the picture that is brought before us here in this text. So the picture is, of course, very graphic. It is a portrayal of an individual at a major crossroads, because it says here in these words, "Stand ye in the ways." Come to a halt. He's portrayed as someone, as I put it, at a crossroads. There's a variety of ways there, and it is essential, it is imperative that he chooses the right one. And yet the merciful thing is that the Lord counsels him. The one who has been deceived and led astray, the Lord counsels him. He actually puts the very words into that man's mouth. Ask for the old paths. Sinner, you're at the crossroads, the Lord is saying. Your journey in life is altogether wrong. You're going in a direction that will only and can only end in disaster. It's time to stop. It's time to inquire. The Lord says it's time to ask for the old paths. Now that term, the old paths, in the original language, the original Hebrew, means the paths of antiquity. The inference of those words is that the one who wants to find the truth, the one who wants to come to an understanding of the right way and the path of salvation needs to seek for it among the tried and tested witnesses who have withstood the onslaughts of time. God, you see, from the very beginning, has had voices of truth in this world to set forth in various ways and at different times the way of salvation, the way of deliverance, and therefore all those voices have formed what are called here the old paths, a plurality of voices that all concur and agree together, providing spiritual counsel that is dependable, that is durable, that is designed to lead the lost one away from a misguided course and a path that leads to ruin, away from all that, back onto the right path, into the right path. There is a plurality of voices. The Lord says here, the old paths. Now, notice the very expression that the Lord uses, the old paths. It's actually a clear warning in how it is put to avoid the novelties that come on the religious scene. You see, in the heart of man, there is a discontentment with the tried and tested paths that have been trodden by the saints of the past, that have been sure and that have been given to men so that they are brought on the right way that leads to life and to eternal deliverance. There's a discontentment with that. These very words infer that the old paths indicate that there are new paths. As I put it, there are religious novelties. And you know, my friend, the sinful heart of man loves to have that. The sinful heart of man is always ready to embrace some spiritual innovation presented by lying and deceitful men. Have you ever noticed that there is absolutely no problem getting the crowd to follow a lie? And especially when that lie is presented, because it's just the same old lie that the devil has always peddled, but it's presented in a new way, in a novel fashion, and you can get the multitudes to follow that without any problem. The Bible tells us about that. It speaks there in 2 Peter, for example, chapter 2, in a warning against false teachers and false prophets, and it says that many will follow them. It says in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, that the believer is not to follow the multitude to do evil. You know, men will say, as they go down the road of deceit and lying and deception, they will say, it has to be right, it must be right, because look at all who are embracing it and following it. That's how deceitful men sell their lives. They will appeal to the huge numbers who follow, who embrace that lie. And they will say, this is proof that what we are presenting must be right. It must be true. It must be that which you should follow. Because look at all those who are taking it on board. That's how lying and deceit are promoted. And especially through the new idea that is presented to the mind of man. That's how the devil succeeded in his attempts of tempting Eve and her husband Adam. He held out the tempting bait that obedience to his advice to disobey God and eat that forbidden fruit would open up unknown, unprecedented spiritual experiences. He said to our first parents, ye shall be as gods. And yet, and actually the very Hebrew says there, ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And that's how he led them astray. He was actually saying to them, God's withholding something from you. God is deceiving you. God doesn't want you to enjoy the level and the height of knowledge and wisdom that you could have if you just took my advice. And oh, men and women, the devil used that then, and the devil has been using that same deceitful bait ever since. And there are multitudes who are still being taken in. So, these words ask for the old paths. Remind us clearly that there are all the novelties, all the new things that come down the road as far as spiritual matters are concerned. But the counsel of God is this. Ask for the old paths and walk therein. Now let us look at those words tonight as we think about the old paths to which God calls our attention, to which he would have the sinner especially pay heed. And as he looks at the old paths, make inquiry. Find out the right way to go. That's the message of our text. And I trust that tonight, sinners in this gathering will listen very carefully. And even this very evening, may you stop, stand still, see where you are in the journey of life, the deception that's over your soul, and begin to make anxious inquiry concerning that which will lead to the salvation of your soul and of your life. Notice with me, first of all, here, that the old paths reveal that there is but one way of salvation. The old paths reveal that there's but one way of salvation. It says, ask for the old paths, where is the good way? Notice that. The old paths, all the witnesses, all the voices of truth, they come together and they reveal that there is only one good way. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way? United testimony that there is but one good way. Now, of course, the reference there is to the way of salvation. That one single good way that leads to everlasting life. And it leads to the enjoyment of the mercy of God. There are, of course, voices of antiquity which would present to you not the good way, but a plurality of ways that they say will lead you to everlasting life and to salvation. And yet if you listen to all those old voices, the old voice of popery, the old voice of paganism, the old voice of all the deceptions of the ages gone by, they all have one single theme, and that is that they reject the good way that God sets forth by his witnesses. What we're seeing here tonight is that in God's economy, in that plurality of witnesses that he has raised up down through the generations of time, there is one single message coming through generation by generation right up to this moment, that in the economy of grace there's only one good way that leads to everlasting life. Let me just mention some of those old paths. And as we listen to their voice, we find that they all come together, they all converge to make clear to men and women, there is only one way of salvation. Take the old path of the Scriptures of God. That's one of the old paths in view in this text. The Scriptures of God, the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. And we find as we listen to the voice there, they all focus on this fact that there's only one good way that is going to lead to the salvation of the soul. They all have a single focus. Well, as you go from Genesis to Malachi and from Matthew through to Revelation, listen as you read, listen as the word is preached, and you'll find, my friend, that they all point to Christ and to His person and to His work and to nothing else but that. That is the good way. The person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the old path of the Scriptures of God tell us clearly that it's Christ and Christ alone. Now, how important it is to see that. That the Bible testifies everywhere that Christ alone is the Savior of men. That's a very elementary matter. And yet it is one that you have failed to see. And failed to know and to embrace. And tonight you are not found on the good way, because you have rejected the voice of Scripture. You have ignored this old path of the Scriptures of God with its clear, unambiguous message that it's Christ alone who saves. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me." The Scriptures, he says, testify of me. Look at Luke 24 and verse 44 and listen to our Savior speak there along the same lines. Luke 24:44, he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Notice that language from the lips of our Savior. Things written, he says, concerning me. And he breaks down there the Old Testament Scriptures into their threefold part. The law, the prophets, the Psalms. The law, the first five books of Moses. The prophets, all of the prophetic writings. The Psalms, the word Psalms refers to the poetic writings, like Job and Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes and so on. And the Lord says, in them all, the things that are there concern me. Now my friend, there in the most concise fashion possible, from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told that the whole of the Old Testament presents Him. Present Him in all His fullness and in all His power to save. If you take the law of Moses, you will find that he says, the Lord says, John 5:46, "Moses wrote of me." Isn't that interesting? You read Genesis through to Deuteronomy, the books of Moses. There's the law, the Pentateuch. And the Lord says, "Moses wrote of me." Many will tell you, Christ is not in the Old Testament. He's not in the law, most certainly, but Moses himself, we are told, by the Lord, wrote of Christ. There's one section. The Lord says, "Moses wrote of me." Or you take the prophets. And look at 1 Peter chapter 1. That's the second section that the Lord mentions, the prophets. And turn to 1 Peter 1 verse 10. And it says this, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Of what did the prophets write? The sufferings and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their theme. That was their subject. The law, Moses wrote of me. the Lord tells us, the prophets, the sufferings, and the glory of Christ. What about the Psalms? That word means, in Luke 24:44, the writings, the poetic writings. What about them? Do we find Christ there? Yes, we do. Listen to Job. Take that wonderful book of Hebrew poetry and listen to the man of God as he cries, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. There is a voice from the past. There is one of those witnesses lifting up his voice in the poetic writings and saying so clearly, I know that my kinsman Redeemer liveth. And what wonderful truth is in that statement. The very same truth as is revealed to us in the New Testament, of a Savior who came and became our kinsman, took our nature, took our humanity, lived in it, obeyed the law of God in it, went to the cross in it, died in it, rose in it, ascended in it, and thank God, is coming again in it. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. Or take the writings of David, the great poetical books of the book of Psalms, and listen to David as he speaks of the Messiah, the Anointed One, as he speaks in Psalm 22 and Psalm 69 so poignantly of the cross and the sufferings and the shame of his descendant who would come, the greater David. From his own house and his own family, the rod from the house of David, who would come in the fullness of time and do the work that only he could do to bring men from darkness to light. Therefore, men and women, the old path of the Scriptures of God, that whole path of truth, brings together all its voices and says there's only one good way. What about the old path of the system of God? What I mean is, from the very beginning, when man fell, the Lord literally began to give his word. The Lord began to set up a system by which sinners were guided and directed as to how they could be reconciled to God. And I'm speaking of the system known as the ceremonial system, the system of sacrifices and offerings and the priesthood and all that pertains to it. And there is the old path of the system of God. And you know something? When the Lord said to Judah here, stand ye in the ways, you're at the crossroads, ask for the old paths, search them out, because they all testify of the good way. He's speaking to people who know so well not only the old path of Scripture, but the old path of that system that God had ordained, because it actually was their delight. They took it, they perverted it, they made it the means of their salvation, and all the while God had given that system merely as a way of teaching them about the way of life. But that system so clearly and wonderfully pointed to God's good way. You see, you look at the ceremonial system, it had some outstanding features. Let me just mention a few of them. Did that system not show that God could only be appeased by sacrifice? Indeed, that was its central thrust. Take the system, the ceremonial system, and you will find that it all revolved around the great altar, the brazen altar, where the offering was presented, the blood was shed, on which the fire of God fell, consuming the sacrifice to indicate that the blood and the blood alone satisfies the wrath of God and appeases the wrath of God. And that was the message, the central message of that system. God's wrath appeased by sacrifice. atonement for sin found only through the blood. Listen to that great statement in Leviticus 17:11. For I have given you the blood upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement. As I said a while ago, there are many new voices today, lying, deceitful voices. Dear sinner, don't listen to them. Because if you listen to them, you will discover, you will find that there's no blood. There's no atonement. There's no sacrifice. That's the good way. Because that's God's way. God's way is good because God has shown that he may be approached through a priest. The ceremonial system showed that as well. That the only way to come to God is by a mediator. By a priest who stands in between, who reconciles the two parties at enmity, who brings them together, who unites them and makes them one. And in the ceremonial system, that was presented. And therefore, that ancient system clearly taught God's ancient people the one and only good way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that Christ was being presented there, not only from reading the Old Testament and seeing Christ with the eye of faith in every type and shadow and sacrifice and ceremony, in every offering that was made, in every washing that was gone through. We see Christ there if we know anything about the Bible or the Gospel. But then we go to Colossians 2 and we listen to the Apostle Paul as he counteracts error foisted on the Colossian church, that they had to come under the ceremonial system in order to be saved. And Paul says, no, that system is over and done with. That system was the shadow, but Christ is the fulfillment. That system was the mere pointer to the one who would come in the fullness of time, but he has come. That's the message there in Colossians 2. And therefore we learn from Paul's use of words that that old system, the old path of the system of God, the ceremonial system, clearly pointed to Christ. What about the old path of the spokesmen of God? You see, there were many outstanding men who stood up and who preached down through the generations of time. I want you to turn to Luke 49 a moment. It's good for believers to see this, as well as those in this meeting who are not saved, as we think about these old paths of the Scriptures of God, the system of God, and now the spokesmen of God. And look at Luke 11 verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is Christ. That's the Lord Jesus who's in view there, and who is described in that way. The wisdom of God. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them shall they slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, all the preachers you could say, for that's what the word prophet really means, the blood of all the preachers or prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias. Oh, in one concise, sweeping statement, the Lord takes us from Abel to Zacharias. And he says, these were all the spokesmen of God. And they all had one single message. And that message was the good way. Take Abel. Way back in the very dawn of Earth's history, look at Abel come to the place that God had appointed where man could meet with him. And what did Abel bring? Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. Abel slaughtered them. Abel offered them up. Abel was therefore preaching. Indeed, men and women, It is clear from Scripture that Abel did preach to Cain. He preached to Cain of the one way, the good way. And it was in the light of that preaching and that message from that spokesman of God that Cain lifted his hand and he slew his brother. He silenced the voice that spoke to him. One of the old paths, speaking to that man who became an apostate and a reprobate of the old way of God, that is the good way, the only way to be saved. There's one of the spokesmen of God. We go a little farther, we come to Enoch. And did not Enoch speak as one of God's spokesmen? And he spoke of Christ. In the book of Jude we are told that Enoch declared not only the first coming of the Lord, but the second coming of the Lord. Behold, the Lord cometh with all his saints to pour out his wrath, to judge the souls of men. You find it there. Abel was a spokesman. Enoch was a spokesman. What about Noah? The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of what? A preacher of righteousness. And therefore, if we had time this evening, we would find as we go through the Word of God, all these spokesmen who stood up, and all of them, along with the system of God and the Scriptures of God, comprise some of the old paths of which this text speaks, and therefore all of them pointed clearly to the good way, the one and only way. And oh, dear man, dear woman, tonight, that way is good. Why is it called the good way? That is the only way of salvation, through Christ, through his blood, through his finished work. Why is it called the good way? It's called the good way because it's of God. It's called the good way because it leads men away from deceit and that which is evil and lies to that which is true and genuine and that which will never deceive. It's called the good way because in it we have presented to us the full work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. It's called the good way because it presents to men a way of deliverance from their darkness and their wickedness and their obnoxiousness before God and makes them new creatures. There are so many reasons why it can be called the good way. But here we find that the old paths reveal one way of salvation. The good way. The way, my friend, which of you will enter will do you good, will meet your need, lead to your deliverance, your cleansing, your pardon, your forgiveness, peace with God, a new life, a new nature, a heart that is changed. This is all found in the good way. A way that leads to home, that is, to God's house above, to the everlasting mansions. Oh, I ask you tonight, dear sinner, to stand, stop, come to a halt. Consider where you're going. Realize you're not on the good way, but there's only one way, and you must take it. You must enter upon. So the old paths reveal that there's only one way of salvation. And then the old paths reveal that spiritual rest is found when people take that good way. Look with me and notice what it says again. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. There's what's found and obtained when sinners enter into the good way. The old paths show that there is spiritual rest to be obtained by those who take God's way, the good way of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is this rest? Ye shall find rest for your souls. Is it not speaking of the peace? The peace that the gospel presents, and the gospel provides, and the gospel bestows on those who come to Christ. It certainly is. That's the rest that's in view here. And there's rest for the soul. There's peace with God because Christ has satisfied the very justice of God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the good way, and in that good way, peace of soul is found because He has made peace. Why has He done so? Well, think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1 and verse 20. He has made peace through the blood of His cross. That is why there is peace for the soul who comes to Christ. Because peace has been established by Christ through the blood that He offered at Calvary. Having made peace through the blood of the cross, the Lord has satisfied God's wrath, God's justice. He has dealt with sin. He has met every demand of the law, and therefore there is peace for men. Now, is that not what sinners do need? And is that not, to a great degree, the continual quest of man, looking for peace and contentment in his soul and in his life? And yet he's looking for it in all the wrong places. And I may speak to some tonight, and I know I do, and your heart is devoid of peace. There is no rest there. That's real, that is. Oh, I know, and this is very alarming, I know the devil can give a false peace. The devil can deceive a man into thinking that he has done enough by his own works, his own efforts, through his own religion, and he now is at peace with God. The devil can do that. False religion can bring that about. But my friend, let me put it to you this way. If you have peace in your heart, but it is not the result of having rested in Christ alone, and in the blood that He shed at Calvary, what you have in your soul is a deceit. It is a lie. And it's going to take you on right down through life until you come to the end of the journey. And all the while you think that all is well with your soul. And you come to the very close of the journey, thinking still you have peace with God. But it's not the peace that flows out of the precious blood. And you come to the verge of eternity, and you think you're going to go to be with God in glory, and yet you discover then to your horror that your soul is launched over the precipice into the darkness and the agony and the misery of hell. I remember talking to a man one time who was dying of cancer. Literally. And I went to see him. He wasn't a Free Presbyterian by any stretch of the imagination. But I went to see him because I knew him. I sat down with him in the Royal Victoria Hospital and I started to talk to him. And I said to him, "Ron, are you not anxious about your state, about where you're going, about the end of the road, about the fact that you're going to die?" I did not mince my words. You know what he said? "Oh," he says, "I think I could toddle off any time." That poor man died in darkness. and he was convinced that all was well and he had peace. He was ready for heaven. There's a deceitful peace. And my friend, I'm saying to you tonight, if you've peace in your heart, but it's not peace that comes through the blood of Christ and resting in the blood of Christ, you are deceived. The good way is a way that brings rest to the soul because of the work of Christ and because of his satisfaction of God's justice. And therefore that rest for the soul through Christ, who is the good way, is to be possessed by faith. Notice what it says. It says, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. In the Bible, walking is a metaphor for faith. It says there in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith. The Christian life is described as a walk. But let me tell you something. That walk has a beginning. And that's what this text is saying. Discover from the old paths the good way. And then he says, walk therein. And you'll find rest for your souls. You'll obtain this peace. What the Lord is simply saying is that the only way to have peace or possess it or enjoy it is actually by faith and faith alone. Isn't that what the Lord said in Matthew 11:28? Where he addresses the multitudes, people laden down with sin, laboring under guilt. And he says there, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, he says, and I'll give you rest. My sinner, that's what I mean when I say that this rest that's found in the good way of God, as it's outlined for us and set before us by the old paths, can only be obtained and enjoyed through faith alone. What is faith? Faith is a man, a woman, or whatever age the individual might be, young or old. Faith is that individual personally and consciously and deliberately coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and actually resting, trusting in who he is and what he has done. That's faith. And my friend, I'm saying to you tonight, here's the good way. The old paths reveal there's only one. The old paths reveal that there is peace to be found there. And it's peace that is experienced through faith. Saved by faith. That's God's way. But let me show you this. That the rejection of the counsel of the Lord through the old paths will result in judgment. Listen to what it says here in this verse. At the very end of it. But they said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17 repeats that at the end of it, where he says there's watchmen. And he says, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. O man, O sinner tonight, hear your reading a description. You're hearing a description of your own folly. Here's the good way. Is it going to be your response tonight? I will not walk therein. The trumpet has sounded in your ears. Judgment is coming. Wrath is descending. Death is hastening on. And the moment of decision is upon you. The old paths all point in the same direction. I show you the promise of what you'll have Are you going once again to say, as it says here, I will not walk therein? I will not hearken. Dear friend, notice what that will bring. Look there at verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. See there this evening that if you reject the counsel of God for the old paths, then you can only, and you will only have judgment. There can be no other end. Destruction. Damnation. Because you have not hearkened unto God, you have not listened to His Word, you have not obeyed the Gospel, you have not hearkened to Him, therefore, having rejected all that, there can only be one end. And one alone. Destruction. Eternal ruin. Everlasting damnation. Sinking deep down into the depths of everlasting hell, because you will not walk in the good way, and you will not have Christ, and you will not trust Him and receive Him as He's freely offered to you in the Gospel. Sinner, remember the Lord's own words. He that believeth not shall be damned. That is your end. If you believe not, if you enter not, if you walk not into the way of peace, he that believeth not shall be damned. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you seek Him? The call goes out. The old paths are there. One single voice pointing you to Christ, telling you what you will obtain. But sinner, listen to the command. Walk therein! Enter in by faith. And if you won't hearken and you won't obey, you will be destroyed. Let us bow together before the Lord. So I'll bow quietly, please, before the Lord. We're in His presence. We're at the end of a gospel meeting. We are at a solemn moment. It's certainly not a time for any restless movement. It's just been all perfectly still and perfectly quiet in the presence of God. Sinner, will you come to Christ tonight? Will you seek Him? As you must, will you seek Him right now? I urge you, as you sit here in the presence of God, to lift up that soul of yours and cry to God for mercy and thank Him that once more you've had the opportunity to hear the Gospel. And this night, enter in and obtain rest for your soul. Take that step. Come to the Lord tonight. And if there are any who need help and counsel and prayer, it will be my joy to meet with you and give that help. Dear sinner, linger no longer, wait no more. Come at once. Accept his mercy. Come and be saved. You tell me as you leave that you want to see us. Or give us a phone call, whatever you want to do. I'd be glad to hear from you. May you come. May you seek the Lord. There's no better time than now. Lord, we pray that thou wilt take thy word and use it for thy glory. Lord, we confess that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Thou must do the work. Thou must save. Oh, wilt thou not speak this night? Wilt thou not work? Wilt thou not save the precious souls, poor sinners in this gathering? Lord, hear us. Break through with power. And glorify thy dear Son in the conversion of sinners. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Spirit, be with every child of God, both tonight and forever. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen.